Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at Orca.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Huh. Boondoggle. That was interesting. I saw the button. I had to push it. Welcome to the Monday Night Kickoff Show. I am your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Along with me, joining me as always, the co-host of this fine show, Mr. Alan Ryland. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Good evening.
Good evening to you. And what a fine evening it is here in Central Florida. It's the first evening we've had where I haven't heard thunder and lightning outside my my window in the last couple of days. So that's good. Yeah, so we got a lot to get to today. We've got a special guest that's going to be joining us. We've got one of the reps from Akuma, a good friend of mine, Ray, who will be joining us here shortly. And we'll talk to Ray about all things Akuma reels and maybe talk about some Akuma rods and things like that. If you've been living underneath a rock and haven't paid any attention to what's been going on in the course of the last couple of years with Akuma, they've definitely made a surge back into the marketplace. Wouldn't you say there, Alan?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good.
Yeah, nothing but good things about Akuma. The last couple of years at ICAST, it's been pretty impressive to see what they've been able to come out with. I know our good friend there in the chat room, Randy English, is sporting one of the new Helios reels, which I'm kind of jealous about, by the way. But
did you throw that thing down there at the demo day?
Yeah, it's nice, man.
Yes, very nice.
Yep. So, you know, he's happy with it thus far. And, but like I said, we'll talk to him when he calls and, see what's going on and how they've brought their name back from basically what I would like to, what I used to call the Walmart reels and, clamshell reels. You know, you get the reels that come in a clam pack. It's always pretty much a good sign that things are junk, but, they've definitely turned the corner and, are serious competitors now in the marketplace. But, let's see. What else is going on, Alan? What did you do this past weekend? Did you worked?
I worked. Yep, I worked, and then I worked, and then I went back to work. That's about it.
Yeah. But you did secure a couple of new sponsors for the Cars Park Redfish Tournament. Tell us a little bit about the Redfish Tournament.
Yep, I did. You know what? I've got, I'd have to go through my list of everybody I've got. But, you know, Kayaks by Boat, of course, as always, stepping up. They help out with everything, anything and everything we do. I got Slayer Inc., Yak Gear. I was welcomed by a large box on my front doorstep when I got home this morning. And, of course, got in trouble from the wife for ordering something else, which I did not. But anyway, they hooked us up huge. I mean, I've got rod holders, paddle leashes, rod leashes, 360 light with all the rail blazer mounting systems and everything. So it's just, and I've never really gotten to handle any of that stuff before, and I got to tell you, it's legit, man. That stuff is it feels bulletproof. So they really really came through on that. So Harry Good's Outdoor Shop, of course, you know, a couple other ones. So yeah, it's going good. Looks like it's going to be a good one. So excited.
Cool. Yeah. It's if it's anything like the last tournament you put on, man, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the Yak Gear stuff a little bit on the phone earlier before the show, and it sounded like you were quite impressed.
Oh, big time! Real nice stuff. I mean, just the quality of it, and you know, I mean, not to put any other brands down, of course. I mean, there's good stuff on the market, but the Yak Gear stuff, it's, you know, if anybody hadn't checked it out, it's you need to. I mean, it's real nice. They got some good stuff out.
Killer. Let's see, I got to do a little bit of fishing. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, give you a little bit of a fishing report from my experience this past weekend. Here's something interesting. We just heard the boondoggle spot. I spoke to our good friend, Ashley Ray, who joined us a couple weeks ago on the show. And, she has now taken a position with the Land of Lakes Tourism Board up in Canada, and she expressed interest in maybe wanting to bring a boondoggle to Canada. I am down like 4 flat tires to go to Canada and fish out of a kayak for muskie and walleye and trout and salmon and whatever else you can get into. I don't know how the logistics would work out for something like that, but hey, boondoggles are going places, man. I'm telling you,
yeah,
I think it would be cool to. Go ahead.
Four day drive, 5 day drive, fish on the way up.
Drive. I'm not driving, brother. I'd be flying up there, and renting or borrowing someone's kayak.
There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, it should be cool, man. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We're gonna shoot Ashley all of the information, the media kit, and all that for the boondoggles, so she can present it to the tourism board up there and see what they say. Hey.
Hey.
We could be up there drinking Molson Ices, catching muskies. That'd be cool.
Walleyes.
And in other news, let's see. For those of you that are For those of you that want to be writers and want your writings to be published, get a hold of Daryl Bars from the Fisherman's Journal. They're looking for people to do to put in articles for their magazine, online magazine. They need some photos. They're looking for let me read you exactly what he sent me. He said, if you get a chance to announce on the show that the Fisherman's Journal will be having a search for great articles and photos for our cover each month. The photos and articles just need to be kayak fishing related and of high quality. So if you want to, write something and have it actually published on an online publication, feel free. Contact Daryl Bars. You can find him on Facebook or contact him through the Fisherman's Journal. I believe it's fishermansjournal.com. Thefishermansjournal.com, excuse me. And, see what you can do. That's pretty cool. I've been honored to be a part of the Fisherman's Journal a few times, and I've got an article that I've just written about the PA-14 that'll be put in the Fisherman's Journal upcoming. And I actually have a brand new 26 quart Orca cooler that should be at my house tomorrow that I'm going to be doing a review on / article on the entire thing. So it'll be cool. But there you go. There's an opportunity for any of you guys out there that want to write and have your stuff, read by, you know, thousands of people. It's pretty awesome. What else is going down? Tournaments, man. What do we got coming up? Anything coming up, Alan?
Yeah, this weekend's the ISA, Titusville. Got the skiff tournament Saturday, the kayak tournament Sunday. So I'm fishing it. Peppy's fishing it. I think if you decided if you're going to fish it yet, or did you sign up? Or?
Yeah. I'm fishing.
Cool. Very good. I know. What else? Of course, the Redfish Tournament in November, the one up in Jacksonville, I think November 2nd, which is the Inshore Slam, the 2-day tournament. put on by the Jacksonville Kayak Club up there. So I think the tournaments start kind of winding down a little bit towards the hotter summer months, but should start kicking back up towards fall. But quite a few going on.
Sweet. Yeah, the IFA event. It's always interesting to see what the guys that live in Jacksonville end up bringing down here. And I don't know, man. It's one of those tournaments. I like it. It's a cool idea, but I don't think that you should be able to literally drive wherever the hell you want to fish a tournament. I think you should.
Yeah.
There should be some boundaries because, it's hard to keep eyes on anybody when you're not saying anybody cheats, but you know, when someone brings in a 40-plus-inch redfish on they caught on plastics and 30
artificial.
Foot of water. Yeah, artificial only. Nope. Yeah. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it'll be fun. If nothing else, I'm just...
I've done it.
You got, what's that?
I said I've done it. It can happen.
Yeah.
Not really.
Course. Pepe does it every freaking tournament right before he gets back to launch. So, you know. 39 inches, 40 inches, who cares? He's like, yeah, I just saved my best for last. But, you know, it's a good event. It'll be fun, whatever. You guys know how I take tournaments. I just fish them to fish with you guys. I don't ever take that stuff seriously. But, yeah, there you go. And Rob DeVore is on the phone. I know I got Rob here. Let's see what Rob's up to. Rob just came over to the East Coast to do some more filming with our good friend Mike Kanin. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man. How's it? What's up? Thanks for having me. I'm here. Yeah, man, we had a great time over the weekend. Was fishing with Pepe on Saturday, and Matt Giles picked up his new Slayer, and his buddy Chris and Mike, and we were out all weekend, man. And let me tell you, those guys are maniacs because we fished all day Saturday, like didn't get back till 3-4 o'clock, and they were talking about going to Jack's at 9 o'clock that night and fishing till 3 o'clock in the morning. Huh?
That's funny. I said, no, I'm laughing. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh my God. They're just insane. So it was a blast. You know, we had a good time. Did some filming. And I did a lot of sleeping because I'm old. I'm old, Chuck. You know, when you get to be old like me.
Hey, when you have to start dyeing your beard, brother, then it shows your age.
That's right, buddy. But at least I look good.
Yeah, this is true. It's true. No homo. Go ahead.
It was good. Saturday we went to a spot and it was crawling with tarpon rolling 10 feet in front of you. And I'm not talking like, you know, little dink tarpon, ditch tarpon. These were like full grown, you know, pretty, you know, probably 90 pound tarpon, you know, right there, but they wouldn't eat anything. I jumped one. I got one on top water and jumped it, but it wasn't a real big one, but it, you know, came off. And, Matt got one right off the bat as soon as we launched, bam, Miradine, and it ate it, and he got it up to the boat, and it shook off right at the boat.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a good day fishing, man, and having fun, and just, you know, paddling, and, you know, camaraderie, and hanging out with each other and stuff. It was awesome. And then Saturday, we went to Honest John's Fish Camp and launched there. And that place, I love that place. That place was absolutely fantastic. The place where we fished there. And there was fish all over the place. And,
cool.
It was good. We got some good footage and, you know, wore out a couple of GoPro batteries and, you know, just had fun.
That's awesome.
And
man.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's like giant roosters running around Honest John's Fish Camp. And they have so many like feathers around their feet, they look like they're wearing boots. Seriously.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to come down there and fish with you guys, man. But, I had a whole weekend booked of stuff to do and a short time to get on the water. So I ended up just fishing up here in the lagoon.
Going over one of these bridges on the way home yesterday, Mike's truck starts running out. It was like running out of gas, dude. Like, you know, you've seen Mike's truck, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. He probably gets like 3 gallons to the mile on that thing, you know. And so running out of gas going uphill on the bridge and like coasted over. It was awesome. Went to Harry Goods. It was a good time, man. Great weekend. Pretty
cool.
Busy week.
Cool. So, but even more importantly, well, not more importantly than within your film project, but one of the really cool things that, that you've got going on is over at the Actastic Adventures, Facebook page. You've surpassed the 500 like mark.
Yes. Currently standing, we are at 521, which is fantastic.
Sweet. That is awesome. And if I can find my, yep, here it is.
There it is.
There it is. It's been a while since we've had something to hit that button for. That's awesome, man. And as promised, I told you that I would come up with a prize pack for whoever wins or whoever's is chosen after the 500th like is picked on your page there. So do you have a winner, or are we going to do this another day, or what's going on?
No, we're gonna do it right now. So if you've got your Chucktastic prize pack, if you want to divulge that information, then I'll go ahead and get the random number generator going, and we'll have a winner here in a minute if you hit the, you know, the Jeopardy music.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I wasn't planning on you hitting it that fast. So I've got some of the items, but there's more to come, and I can divulge, you know, what you're going to be getting. You'll be receiving the lucky participant will be receiving a waterproof digital camera,
nice.
which will be sent to me here shortly. And then I'm not sure which one I'm getting. That's why I'm not saying the model number. But someone's sending me one as a prize pack, and that's what you're going to get. It's going to be a waterproof digital camera. You're also going to receive a gift certificate to KBB Outfitters. So as soon as we're opened up, you're going to have a $150 gift certificate for KBB Outfitters, which can be used for anything you want in the store. And then I'm also trying to get you a sweet pair of polarized glasses. So you'll have a digital camera, a waterproof digital camera, $150 gift certificate to KBB Outfitters, and then also to a sweet pair of polarized shades. So whoever the winner is, as soon as I have the other two items in my hand, then I will send them to you promptly.
Fantastic. Don't send them to me. You got to send them to the winner.
That's what I'm saying. The wiener. That's what I'm saying. I'll send them to whoever you pick out of this number generator. But let's get this thing rolling, brother. We got to get to Ray for your
Kuma
Kuma.
Sorry. I'm
no
sorry.
Not you.
Hold on.
Me. I took too long.
The number is 278, which would be...
Me. No, kidding.
Spencer Jones.
Spencer Jones. Yeah. So if anybody knows of a Spencer Jones, you can let him know that he won the Chucktastic prize pack from Kayak Fishing Radio. So cool. Awesome, man.
Hey, real quick before you go off to your guest, and I'll be fast about it. We hit 1,000 likes, the which is the next milestone at Yaktastic Adventures on Facebook.
Yeah, man.
The winner will receive a Canon T3 camera, SLR camera, the SLR camera with an 18-55 millimeter lens, a battery, and a 32 gig memory card.
Shut up.
Just tell your friends.
Wow.
Tell your friends. That is your that's your next Yaktastic prize pack for 1,000 likes on our Facebook page.
Wow, that is awesome, man. That's the same camera I shoot with. I absolutely love it. And I don't know, maybe I'll be lucky. Maybe I'll be in that thing.
Hey, you're on there, so you're always welcome to, you're in it. You can't win if you don't play, you know. So you're in
it. There you go. Very cool, man. Well, Rob, brother, I appreciate it as always, man. You're a great friend and an even better videographer. And listen, hang on the line for us if you want, because I want to hear what's going on over on your coast anyway. So we're gonna jump over to.
We'll be listening. I'll be listening.
All right, cool. Jumping over to Ray. And so that was awesome, man. Spencer Jones just won a prize pack. That's cool. We're going to go from giving away prize packs to talking a little bit of business here. I'm going to bring on a good buddy of mine. I've known him for a little while now in the fishing industry. It's funny that when I called on him, he walked in the shop. I'm like, oh, man, I remember you. But this is Ray. Ray is one of the reps for Akuma, along with other lines, Igloo coolers and a number of other of items as well, frog togs and Savage gear and all kinds of stuff. So what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing, buddy? Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. I'm doing good, man. Doing great. And of course, you got Alan here as well.
What's up,
Alan?
Man? How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good, buddy. It's going good.
So I guess the best way to kind of get into this is let's just kind of go with what I know. So from I would say the 90s into the early 2000s, most folks wouldn't have considered Akuma to be able to compete with the likes of Shimano, Penn, Daiwa, whatever. I remember back, what was it, about four or five ICAST shows ago, you guys had an interesting development in your booth where you had a relationship starting to grow with Tiburon Reels.
Yeah, that's correct.
And when that relationship kind of formed, is that when things really started to change at Akuma?
Yeah, you know, they got together with our engineers and especially worked on the Makaya range, which is our gold two-speed reels. And those reels, it took 2 years in developing that reel, and they had influence with the Tiburon guys and Peter Bakula, who's a major offshore marlin guy in Australia. And, you know, put all their influence and the guys at Tiburon with their engineering and, you know, built, you know, the Makaya range.
Sweet. And you know, what was interesting, man, was you started to see the writing on the wall that things were changing at Akuma with the V-System. When that first came out, I know there was a lot of buzz about it because it was a dual drag reel that gave you an incredible amount of drag pressure on still a lightweight frame and didn't cost you over $700.
Right. A lot of our reels have incorporated that dual force drag, which I think is still kind of underplayed. It's not well known out there.
Yeah, and what's interesting, and me and you talked about it when you were in Kayaks by Bo the other day, that for most of us kayak anglers, especially those guys that are listening, like guys in the chat room like Ed and Justin Ritchie and a couple other guys that I see in there that I'm good friends with, that are doing a lot more offshore stuff, man, that is that's pretty much the answer for guys who want a lightweight setup but need an incredible amount of drag pressure out of their reel. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that setup, the dual drag deal?
Well, I'll let you know about the Raw. That is one of our new reels that we came out with last year. The drag system, it's a carbon fiber drag washer. It's top and bottom, so you got an even amount of drag pressure. You have no torqueage, you know, with a spool, you know, going one side compared to having a, you know, front-ended, you know, drag. So it's nice and consistent, you know, drag, you know, while the line's going out.
Sweet, yeah, and you said the Raw's got that. What other reels that are in the lineup right now, what other reels carry that dual drag as well?
You have it in the V-System. You have it in the Trios. Those are the three that we have, that dual force drag system.
In a spinning reel, right? I mean, you've got it in the...
Right, in a spinning reel. And in the Makaras, you know, we do have a dual force drag also in the Makara range, the lever drags.
Yeah, so, I mean, so for a guy who's looking for a lightweight setup to take off the beach, maybe kingfish to tarpon, maybe even some tunas or you know, dolphin or even wahoo, then that would be a good option for them as well, right?
Right, definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, like... But how did this all come about? Like, it's fascinating to see that in just a few short years that Akuma has really kind of bounced out of the mindset of a lot of anglers of I'm not owning an Akuma because they sell them at Walmart type thing. To now, it's as Justin just said, what, 25 pounds of drag out of a 30 size reel? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's engineering at its finest, and the beauty of this is the fact that the price points on the reels are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the rolls, you know, under $200, and you're getting all that feature, all aluminum frame, rotor. You have the lightweight, the strength, the drag. You know, the 65 and 80 puts out 50 pounds of max drag, which nobody's going to use. I mean, the most
right,
you're going to use, you know, is 20, but
right.
It's a nice, smooth drag, you know, being a dual force drag.
Yeah, and out of a kayak, 20 pounds of drag is still a lot of drag. Any of you guys are out there that aren't real familiar with heavy drag reels, if you hook an amberjack, let's just say, jigging over, you know, out of your kayak, and you tighten your drag down on one of these raws or on a VS system or whatever reel has a dual drag, and you start cranking it into that 20, 25, 30, 35-pound drag pressure mark, and that fish turns his head and goes for the bottom, you're going with it. So, because it's not going to give up any line. I mean, it's incredible to fish with something like that. I fished with other spinner reels that have that kind of drag pressure, and it's scary.
Yeah, and something, you know, note, you know, and this is not so much for our mark, our fishery down here in Florida, but the bluefin fishery up in the Northeast has really exploded, you know, for, you know, recreational guys throwing poppers to these, you know, 300, 400-pound, you know, bluefin, and that's one of the reasons they came out with the raw with that much drag pressure, and it's holding up to those big bluefins.
Yeah, it's and I know guys here in Port Canaveral that fish on the other side of the Gulf Stream and for yellowfins and throw poppers to yellowfins. They're not 300-pounders, but you know, they're still 80-pound fish. And on some of the lighter reels, I mean, I know a guy who landed an 83-pound yellowfin tuna on, I think it was a 65 VS.
65, yep.
Yeah, and did it. He said did it pretty handily. Said it wasn't too much of a challenge, man. That's awesome. But what else is going on in the world of Akuma, man? I mean, I know you guys, like, one of the reels that's been kind of a popular topic for us here down here in the Central Florida area, and you know, I was kind of drooling all over yours, and I apologize for that. But the Helios, man, that thing has been pretty hot for you, huh?
Yeah, the Helios has done very well, especially with the redfish guys. You know, with the Helios, this is a reel that carbon fiber, frame, side plates, rotor, super lightweight, you know, $140 retail. Just real nice smooth drag. It's carbon fiber, and it's a high-end. It puts out high-end back pressure. And you know, for the redfish guys that, you know, fishing tournaments, this you know, they can crank down on that drag and they can winch in their redfish.
What do you got? Is that Rob that's got the music playing, or is that you?
Sorry.
Hello.
It's Rob. Yeah, no problem. I still got you, brother. It was Rob DeVore. He was over there jamming out to some weird country music or something. I heard something about goats. I heard something about the goat sheep stuff. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, Ray, I got a question for you. I use the what was it? The gosh, I remember there was a couple different styles of the reels I used probably a couple years back. Pixar is what it was, the Pixar series. And I got to say, I used those for probably a little over a year, and I'm strictly pretty much saltwater. And those things were, I guess you could say, bulletproof. I mean, I love them. Kind of sorry I got away from them, but I know there's a one of the guys in the chat room tonight, Randy English. He's got one of the new Helios, and we had a demo day a couple weeks back, and I was kind of watching those things when they started, you know, getting ready to. They were introducing them, and you know, they were all over the forums and all kinds of stuff. You could see the Helios was, you know, getting ready to come out, and I waited and waited and waited, and everybody that got them, they seemed to be like out of stock the day they were released. And Randy, which is one of our local guys here in the group, he had one down at the demo day, and I got a chance to kind of mess with it a little bit. You know, we got a couple breaks, and that thing, I mean, that will be my next reel. I mean, that's just the smooth, it's smooth, lightweight. I mean, that's, you know, I used the Pixars for a little while, and they were some of the lighter weight rods I used. They were a little bit heavier on the lighter weight rods, but I mean, other than that, they were incredible. So I'm kind of sorry I got away from them, but the Helios will definitely be, it's on the top of my list right now, so you guys definitely hit a home run with that one, so.
Yeah, the Helios definitely is, you know, has, you know, made a lot of people, you know, double take on, you know, on Akuma. I mean, especially, I mean, getting these redfish tournament guys, these are, you know, fishing East Coast, West Coast of Florida, you know, these tournaments, and I mean, they're having really good luck with these reels.
Yeah, there's Chuck. What's his name on the West Coast that started? I know he just switched over to strictly Okuma, using them for all his clients.
Derek
and stuff
Burgess.
Like that.
Derek Burgess.
He's man. He is just praising. I forget what all. I know he's got, I think, one or two of the Helios, and I think he went to some of the V systems and stuff. But you know, and he's on the water, you know, daily, and. He just can't say good enough, you know, enough good about him. So, very cool.
Yeah. Akuma's come a long ways, and it, you know, it just takes the time for, you know, new companies to come out there and, you know, fix the bugs. And, you know, I mean, Akuma is really aggressive to get out there and get, you know, good product out there and, you know, at a good price. You know, it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah.
Well, that was
sorry,
go ahead, Alan.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, have you guys got anything else, anything behind the scenes that's getting ready to come out, or anything new that's going to come out in ICAST, or any kind of new lines of stuff or anything, or you guys pretty much going with what you got now? Or
we got it's going to be a small introduction for you know, 2014, but we got some really cool stuff, especially in the offshore scene, not so much in the inshore. But in the offshore market, we got some really cool stuff that's coming out, both in rods and reels.
Nice.
I'm stoked, man. I cannot wait to go to Vegas and sit down and chat with you and look over the new product line, man, because I'm definitely planning on bringing in some of the line, in fact, most of the line. We got a question, our first question of the night from Justin, who is a gear freak over here in the chat room. He's asking, he says, I'm a big Star Drag kind of guy. What's the difference between the Cortez and the Cedros?
The Cedros, they're both going to be, you know, the Cedros is an aluminum frame. The Cortez is a graphite, you know, frame. They're both, you know, they're similar, but, you know, they're different in the body. But they're both high-speed reels. But the major difference is one has it's all aluminum, and the other one is, you know, graphite.
All right, so it'd be like the difference between in other reel manufacturers. It'd be almost like a TLD of sorts versus a Abbott.
Right.
I mean, just the body construction, of course.
Right.
All right, cool. And
a lot of Akuma, you know, incorporates the same, just like in our Makaira lever drags and the Solterra. The only thing, you know, difference between those two reels is the body, because they incorporate the same drag system as, you know, the $500 Makara that's in the Solterra that retails for, you know, $140, you know, to, you know, $250, and it's just a graphite right. body, but they incorporate the you know, same drag, you know, washers, and it's the only difference.
Here's something I thought was really cool that me and you talked about, because as a retailer, it's really important for us to know, okay, listen, this is what we have. We have this reel is going to carry a one-year warranty, or this reel is going to carry a lifetime warranty or whatever. The cool thing mm-hmm. about Akuma that has changed over the years that you filled me in on, because I didn't know it, was you guys are stocking a lot of parts here in the States. And
yes,
you
and
have
– yep.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, finish.
Oh, okay. So with that being said, being able to stock so many parts here in the States, your turnaround time for having service work done to a reel, say you have a warranty issue or you just need service work done, is incredible. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's if you're sending back the reel to, you know, directly to Akuma, you know, you have still, when you're sending it out there, you're gonna have, you know, 3 or 4 days to get there, but Akuma guarantees 48-hour turnaround time, and a lot of guys are happy about that, especially tournament guys that need to get their reels back quickly. They have all the parts right there. They have all the tech guys there, guys on the phone to answer any questions, you name it. I mean, they're there for, you know, customer service and taking care of you guys.
48-hour turnaround time sounds a heck of a lot better than the 3 weeks or 4 weeks that I think Pepe was just recently told by a manufacturer, so.
Guys that need to get, you know, have a tournament, you know, that's coming quick, and they need to get their reels overhauled or repaired, you know, new handle, you know, you name it, a drag washer, drag knob, you know, you can call up, you know, Akuma, and they'll get it out to you.
Hey Ray, I was gonna ask you too. I know you guys have a series of fly reels out too. You know, a couple buddies of mine have got a couple of the different series of the fly reels, and you know, same quality. I mean, no issues, not like that. You got anything coming in the fly side of things, or are you guys pretty much focusing on? I know you said most of your changes or new stuff coming out for offshore, but anything in the fly fishing world, or is that?
Pretty much rolling what we have right now. Nothing new in the works, you know, for a new fly reel. We still, you know, have the Helios, the Integrity, the SLV, Cascade. There's all going to stay in the lineup, and there's nothing new in the works right now.
But again,
yeah. Okay.
But again, with the Akuma, which is kind of cool, the price points are great.
Yeah.
The retail price of a fly reel from you versus some of the other fly reel manufacturers out there allows people to get into a quality piece of equipment without having to spend a ton of money. So I promise you guys who are listening tonight, there's a number of reasons why the shop is going to be carrying Akuma products in the future, and it's because A, the quality is there. B, I can stand behind it because I've got people like Ray who can reassure me of the fact that we can stand behind the product. And they have a 48-hour turnaround, as you heard, as far as once they get their hands on it. The products themselves are quality. The rods, we haven't even talked about the rods, man. This is one of the things that really impressed me about when you came to the store. And I don't know if you picked up on the way that I like the rods, dude, because I really kind of look over everything pretty tight. But when you started telling me price points and you're like, oh yeah, this rod's going to retail for $49. And you're like, this rod's going to retail for $39. This rod's going to retail for $79. I think the most expensive rod you showed me was like a $129 retail or something like that. And it was a killer pull.
Yeah. And especially, you know, at that $100 price point, an IM8 rod, and I think the one you liked the most was, you know, I took on just, you know, for kayak fishing, was that EVX with the short butt on it.
Yeah, man.
IM8 rod.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the short butt, and I'll talk to you guys out there at ICAST a bit more about it when we have more time, but I think that it would really behoove Akuma to truly come out with a full line of just kayak-specific rods, offshore style, inshore style, because those of us that are going to be doing a lot more fishing off the beaches here in the next couple of weeks with summer really kicking in, man, it's so hard to find a rod that's got great leverage but has a short enough butt to where you're not having to try and not break ribs to get the thing underneath your arm, you know, and
yeah.
And no one's doing it. There's just nobody out there that's really doing it.
Yeah. But I just wanted, you know, keep in mind for your listeners, I always, you know, stress with, you know, IM8 rods that you're gaining sensitivity, but it's, you know, being a higher modulus rod, you know, it can break if you don't take care of it.
Yeah, and which means, guys, basically, don't throw it on the floor of the kayak. Don't drop your fish on top of it. Don't drop your pliers on it, because once you nick it, it's going to explode.
All the years I've been, you know, Chuck, all the years I've been fishing, I mean, I try to fish as much as I can. I've only broken one rod in my whole lifetime, and it was because of my stupidity. I was wade fishing, and I saw a blue crab, and I was coming back in, and I saw that blue crab, and I just, you know, just kind of bored and, you know, kind of poked at that blue crab, and dink, and that's where it broke, the tip of the rod.
Yeah, I remember.
I could not believe that.
Yeah, you told me that story when you came to the shop. That was funny. I've only, in my lifetime of fishing, I broke three rods. The first one I broke in the trunk of my dad's car. That don't really count. The second one I broke in the bed of my truck because I slammed on the brakes to not hit somebody. That didn't really count. And then the last one I broke was just recently. I blew up a Loomis fly rod, one of my cross current 8-weight. I blew it up on a tarpon, and that was the first rod I've actually broken while fishing. It kind of sucks. Justin brought up an interesting point, and I almost forgot about this. You guys came out with a West Coast Series kayak rod a couple of years back,
right.
And if I remember correctly, there was even a kayak guy, like little kayak angler dude, on the EBA foam handle, was there not?
Yeah, that's true. That's been about 3 years ago. It was totally West Coast. You know, it's totally, you know, different out there. But, I mean, they do a lot of kayak fishing out there. But it was not your traditional, you know, rod, you know, kayak rod. You know, it had a lot, you know, EVA foam on it, and it was kind of long. And, you know, I sold it, but it was just kind of odd looking. I mean, one of the cool features was it float. It would float with your reel on it because it had so much EVA on it.
We had one of those at a shop I used to work at, which will remain nameless because, well, it just needs to. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And when we had one, it was really cool. I wanted to buy the rod really bad, but that was the only problem. The only downfall I had was that it was so stinking long, man. It was like, I want to say it was like 8 foot. And it was a casting rod, but it was like 8 foot long, which isn't, you know, indicative to the West Coast style of fishing. But I'm telling you, man, if you guys brought that back and did a solid like coastal spinning rod version / casting version, whatever, I think it'd probably go over pretty well, especially with the explosion of the sport over the last just 2 years, you know?
Yeah. I definitely, you know, when I have my meetings with those guys out there, you know, they'll, you know, let them know that, you know, we need to come back out with, you know, a Pacific, you know, kayak rod, you know, East Coast.
Well, I mean, we've got a really good friend of the show who owns a small rod company called Overboard Rods, and his rods float with a reel on them. And, he's done pretty well for himself with those rods as well. There's definitely a market for it. There's definitely a need for it. I find that a lot of guys that are hardcore about kayak fishing will sometimes take a hacksaw to their rods and cut the lower part of the butt off, just shorten them up or whatever. And, you know, it's something that would be interesting to see down the line. You know, I mean, not like the sport. I don't feel the sport's ever going to go anywhere. I think it's only going to keep growing and growing and growing. So that would be cool, man. It'd be neat to see if Akuma can come back with something like that. Now, forgive me, cause I don't remember which reel it was. But there was a reel that you showed me, and I don't have the catalog in front of me, so I feel like an idiot on this one. But it was the lever drag reel that was silver and red. Which one was that?
Silver and red. You mean silver and blue? Or the silver and, like, orangey color?
Yeah,
you know, the Andros.
Yeah, the Andros. Dude, tell us a little bit about that thing, because that, and the price point as well, I feel is super competitive to reels of its style.
Yeah. Well, you get, Chuck, you got the Andros 2-speed, where it's going to be about $349 retail. And then we just came out with the Andros single speed, which was the silver and blue, which is going to retail for $289. I mean, it's, you know, that five size, real small, you know, lever drag, but a lot of drag pressure. It's, you know, for the West Coast, you know, fishery, you know, at Southern Cal, that's all they throw out there. If you brought a spinning reel out there, I mean, you'll probably be thrown overboard. But it's a super small little lever drag, you know, great for jigging. You can cast with it. You got cast control with it. But that single speed is $289. It's going to go head to head with, you know, the Avids and Accurates, you know, for $289.
Sweet, yeah, that's a sick reel, man. For sure,
yeah,
I was impressed with that one.
I was going to say there was another one, not to skip subjects, but when I was into my, I guess you could call it surf fishing days, which I don't do a lot of, but I've still got the reel. But is the Coronado bait feeder. A couple of reels that you got with the bait feeder funk. Yeah, I mean, that reel was, I haven't used it lately. I just, you know, only because I haven't really surf fished much lately. But that reel was just, you know, the bait feeder function on that thing with the separate track, with the bait feeder function and all that stuff was just, you know, was real nice. So, you know, even the bait feeder series you guys have.
Yeah, there's several reels that we still have that when Nakuma came here to the States that, I mean, they're still in the lineup. They've just, you know, been tweaked a little bit, you know, cosmetics change. The Coronado, the Pixar, the Avengers. This was some reels that we've had since being here in the States.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, Alan, some of the older reels were actually really, really bulletproof. And, I mean, I remember getting some reels back for just basic service, and the paint was all chipped off, and the reel didn't even look the same anymore. The lettering on the spool was completely gone, and you could tell the guy basically drug it through the sand when he was out surf fishing. And you turn the handle, and the gears don't even sound like they're wearing or nothing like that. It's definitely cool, man. But it's awesome to see that there's more competition in the reel market now than there was just even a couple of years ago, and it's really exciting. And you know, like I say, I'm one of those guys, man, that I'm really hard on gear, and when I take a look at something and it really impresses me, it's one of those that I have to try it. So I'll be definitely getting my hands on a couple of your reels here real soon to really beat up and do some pretty cool stuff with. But you know, one of the things that I was impressed with last year at ICAST that was kind of accompanied with your Akuma booth,
right,
was the Savage Gear stuff.
Yeah, Savage is a European, you know, company from Denmark, and this guy that, you know, owns the company, he's the lure designer, and I mean, he is just nuts about, you know, designing lures, and he just loves his job. I mean, he just loves it, you know. And you know, this year they came out with a real eel, 8-inch, 12-inch, and 16-inch, pre-rigged or unrigged, and it really, you know, turned some eyes down here, especially down here in Florida, you know, for cobia season. And not only cobia, you know, I've had guys, you know, trolling for, you know, dolphin and dolphin catch, you know, eat anything, but I mean, this thing looks so real. I mean, it in the pool that they have there at the ICAST show, that I mean, I had to do a double take because I thought there was, you know, real eels in there. I mean, it's so lifelike, and it's another product that, you know, it's not a $25 lure. It's only, you know, the 8-inch is about, you know, $10.99, the 12-inch, you know, $16, and it's just an awesome lure. I mean, it's just so lifelike.
What's crazy, you're talking about having to take a double take at the tank, and somewhere on my Facebook page there's probably still a video up of the tandem rig with the sand eels that the guys were dropping in the water and were making bounce. And, dude, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what in the world we'd fish for with that here, probably snappers off the reef or whatever. But to watch those two baits basically dance back and forth, you know, around each other, and just – it was incredible. I mean, and you guys know I throw a lot of soft plastics, and I'm a Slayer freak, dude. I mean, I'll fish Slayer baits until Chris Sensi can't make Slayer baits anymore. But man, that was a super super cool product. And in fact, everything from the hooks to the jig heads, I mean, everything that those guys do over there to try and come up with something that looks lifelike is just next level. I mean, I'm really hoping that they show up at ICAST this year with another tank. You know if they're planning on doing that?
Oh yeah, they're gonna be there again this year. They got some really cool stuff that's coming out for 2014 for fresh and saltwater. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the S-Tech show, which the European version of the ICAST show. They just actually won Best in Show for a new lure that they came out there at the FTEX. I believe it's one of their new frogs that they have. It's in the freshwater side, but they've just won an award for new lures. So, but they got they have a lot of cool stuff that's going to be coming out for 2014 and the freshwater side and the saltwater side. And it's different things. It's not just another bait that's been knocked off, or, you know, this guy, he loves what he does, and he just, you know, can design, you know, some really cool stuff, and a lot of cool stuff that's coming out for 2014 in Savage Gear.
Alan, have you looked at any of the Savage Gear stuff?
No, I haven't. No, I was just actually trying to pull it up real quick, but I haven't seen any of it yet.
Savage Gear, you know, makes they have, you know, hard baits, swim baits, soft plastics. It's a, you know, full range. And when you get on their website, you're going to see some, you know, weird looking color, European colors. But, you know, they're starting to come out with some of our traditional colors that we use here in the States.
Yeah, well, like I said, man, when I looked at the stuff over there at ICAST in Orlando last year, it was it blew my mind. And I mean, like, literally, I didn't even know what the heck to do. I wanted to buy some, like, right there at the show, and the guys kind of laughed at me and were like, "Yeah, well, what we have here, I can't give you any of." So I walked away kind of empty-handed and feeling kind of dejected. So. Going out there to Vegas this year, I'm definitely going to be trying to get some video of them just to show guys what they look like. And, you know, that's exactly what I was about to say. That you guys got a new crawdad coming out, which could very well possibly be an incredible redfish bait.
Yeah. And we got a new shrimp that's coming out. I think several new shrimps are coming out. A new frog. And this guy, Matt, who is the owner of the company, he takes – 3D, images of, say like a thread-fed herring, frogs, eels. He takes an actual picture, and that's how he designed and gets all the scales and all the details and the lures. And, I mean, it's so lifelike, and, I mean, the action's so great. I mean, it's starting to catch some ground. You're going to see mostly here in the stores here in Florida, you're going to see the real eels. They've been really hot this year.
Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah,
what else you got? You got anything, Alan? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at the website now. I just pulled it up real quick. And you know what? There's a couple things. I think I would probably eat some of this stuff if I had a chance. I mean, it's just, holy cow. I mean, the detail, the... you know, right when you open up the page, it comes up with a new the crayfish lures, and I see what you're talking about the real eel and stuff like that. I mean, that's different, way different from anything I've seen. I mean, that's, you talk about lifelike. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. What else? I mean, what anything else new and exciting? And I know that you've got some other products that you represent as well. What's in your bag of tricks, man, that you're really excited about for this year, for the end of this year and the beginning of next?
Well, we got, you know, I also rip for, you know, Mustad hooks. We got we're continuing adding to our triple grip, you know, treble hook range. Real excited about that. Some 6X strong trebles that we're coming out with. And we got a lot of new freshwater swivels that actually go onto a weight, like a football weight, that you're able to change out the hooks. Say if you straighten out a hook or, you know, and you need to put another hook on, you don't have to tie or take the whole rig off. You just got to switch out the hook. And it's just basically called like a quick swivel, and it just snaps right on there. And I think that's going to be exciting for 2014. It's a little bit more on the freshwater side, but a lot of guys that, you know, redfish guys that can use it also.
Yeah, man. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I think most of us need and some of us don't carry with us, that, you know, in our kayaks on most of our trips is rain gear. And one of the things that I know that you definitely rep is something I'm going to be bringing into the shop is the frog togs.
Yeah, that's a you know, line that has exploded. I mean, it's crossed over to different markets. I mean, we have not only the rain jackets and pants and bibs, we have the chili pads, which, you know, it's a towel that you can wet and rinse it out, wring it out, and it'll stay cool for, you know, 3 hours depending on the conditions. And it's, you know, for fishing, boating, team sports, little league, anything to do with the outdoors to keep you cool, especially right now it's so hot. And some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, we can use that right now.
Yeah, really. Well, very cool, man. Well, let's go ahead. What do you got?
No, I was going to say, we're up to about 3 million of those chili pads now that we're producing a year. Just wanted to throw that in there.
That's crazy.
It's huge.
Sweet. Well, awesome. Well, you know, if anybody wants to check out any of the products, of course, you can go to what's the website that you can give out to us? The Akuma website and some of the others, Savage Gear and whatnot.
And you can get Akuma at akumafishing.com. Savage Gear, for Savage, is savagegear.com. Mustad, it's actually Mustad .no for Norway. Frog Tog is frogtogs.com. And also do, you know, the igloos, igloo.com.
Sweet. Awesome, man. Well, Ray, I appreciate your time and I appreciate you coming on here and, look forward to, talking to you out there at ICAST and, building a strong quality relationship between Akuma and Kayaks by Bow Outfitters, KBB Outfitters.
Definitely. I can't wait. It's only 2 weeks away, bud.
I know, man. I'm freaking out. I'm like, man, you know, like I remember last year this time when I was getting ready to go over to Orlando for the entire weekend and just spend the whole weekend over there, basically just camp out at ICAST, and to think that in 2 weeks I'm going to be actually out in Vegas at the same event, which I'm even more stoked about because of the fly fishing show that'll be going on in the same place.
That's right. That's right. Is this the first year they have them both together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
It's first time that they've had the two of them together in the same place. So it's basically the ICAST of the fly fishing world will be at the same venue as ICAST. I mean, it's going to be nuts. My head will literally explode with information. And I just hope that Tom gives me a spending limit and I stick to that spending limit, man, because you know how it is, man. You start your eyes start getting big and you get excited. You start spending a bunch of money. But, yeah, it should be awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it for sure. We'll have to get together one night after the show and kick back a couple.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cool, man. Well, appreciate it as always, and feel free anytime something new and exciting comes up in any of your lines that you're rep, man, feel free to jump on the show, and you're always welcome here on Kayak Fishing Radio, man.
Well, Chuck, I really appreciate that. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
thanks.
Great.
And
great. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Yeah, man. Take it easy, brother. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
All right, bud.
Awesome.
Wow.
Dude, you know what? Like, I'll tell you what. Like, you talk to a lot of guys, and as soon as you mention Akuma, so many people will dog the brand. Like, I'm not fishing with Akuma stuff. And I said it, dude. I said it 2 or 3 years ago. Watch out, man. I'm telling you. After seeing what they were doing a couple of years back at ICAST with Tiburon, I said, watch out. These guys are coming out. They're not playing around anymore. And
Go ahead. No, I was going to say you watch a lot of the, because I don't watch a lot of TV, but I watch a lot of the fishing shows and stuff. And it's like they're everywhere. I mean, the pro circuit guys, you've got what's his name? Roland Martin's, I don't remember his name. Of course, it's something Martin, but, he's a big advocate for, a lot of Akuma stuff. And now, I mean, they're blowing up. So I think they're going to be a major contender. They're going to give the Shimano's and Daiwa's and everybody else a pretty good run for the money if they're not already.
Yeah, it's I'm telling you, I played with some of the lever drags. I played with some of the star drags. I played with the Raw and the Helios. And, I have a certain buddy who owes me for a rod and reel combo that went missing by a bridge in the Keys. And I'm going to probably be able to grab 3 reels for what I lost out of 1 just because of the value.
Yep. That's the thing. That's the biggest thing. And I know a lot of people, I saw a couple of people make comments in the chat room, is the price line, the Akuma price line. And it's not inexpensive because it's inferior. I mean, it's inexpensive because they don't, it's good stuff, but it's affordable. I know that's huge for people. That's big for me and stuff like that.
I mean, I'll tell you why they can sell their gear for what they sell it for. It's because you never see an Akuma ad, or you rarely ever see an Akuma ad in a magazine.
Yeah. Yep.
You rarely ever see Akuma blowing up social media. They just don't do it. They don't spend a lot of money advertising.
You're not paying for the hype.
Yeah. And so
you're paying product.
Yeah. And so when you're not exactly, when you're not blowing $5 million, $10 million, $20 million on ads and commercials and sponsoring this and sponsoring that, you can afford to sell your reels for what you got in them and give somebody a good quality piece of equipment. Dude, that's why.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you.
Hey, did you see what Josh Slager just said? They don't need an ad when Derek Burgos has a 15-foot sticker on his kayak. Sorry.
That is a pretty big sticker. I saw that sticker.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that is. That's one of the biggest product stickers I've ever seen on any vessel. Like, I've seen some SKA boats, some Kingfish guys that don't have stickers that big.
Hook ones got some big ones, but
yeah, that Akuma sticker is the largest one I've ever seen. No, but I'll be honest with you. When I was working at Handler Fishing Supply, I got a really good deal on all my gear through Adrian, and I could have probably had just about any reel I wanted at a really, really good price, but I kept buying Saros 3000s, man, because the Saroses were bulletproof, and they were $129, and they were awesome. And I had buddies that were like, dude, why are you not fishing the CI4s yet? Why are you not fishing just Stratix? Why aren't you fishing the sustains? And I was like, why? This $129 reel does the exact same thing that any of those other reels are going to do, and it's less money. I've got CI4s now just because they were pretty. I mean, to be honest with you, that's the reason why I got the first ones, because I built a rod to match it. But, you know, I'm just excited, dude. You guys that have been friends with me on Facebook for long enough know that I've been excited about the new Akuma stuff since last ICAST. I posted up a bunch of pictures. In fact, I was bummed, if you remember correctly. I was pissed at Akuma last year because of the way that I felt I was treated when I went into their booth to talk to somebody about the new stuff. And, you know, I felt like they just act like they didn't have enough time to talk to anybody, and it kind of aggravated me. And then the last day of ICAST, I spoke with one dude who spent literally like an hour and a half with me in the booth and went over every reel with me. And that's when I took the pictures of the Helios and the Raw and some of the others. And, but man, I'm telling you, I'm going to definitely be, super excited about getting my hands on some of that stuff. And I'm really looking forward to providing people good quality equipment through the shop. And that's why, dude, TFO, Akuma, those types of brands are the kind of brands I want to carry, because the price point's perfect. The price point's right.
Right.
You know, we're in a we're in a down economy. People aren't going out buying $1,000 fly rod anymore. People are looking to save their pennies where they can. And, you know, when you got good quality equipment at a good fair price, you can't beat it.
Yeah. And they're lying too. I mean, they've got, I mean, how do you choose? They've got like 15 or 20 different spinning reels. They've got all the lever drags, bait casters, fly. I mean, they got it covered. So I think they're definitely a contender.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I don't know, man. You know, I just, things are changing in this industry, and it's fun to watch, you know, and I like competition. Competition's good. I'm sure that G Loomis, the actual company G Loomis, is probably feeling a little bit of strain because of the fact that, that Gary Loomis is now with TFO, you know,
and
that those types of things are good for the industry, though. I mean, competition breeds good workmanship, because you have to nowadays.
Yeah. Right. Well, look what TFO's done. I mean, same type thing, quality with affordable prices. And I mean, I've actually had to use TFO's warranty only due to my son slamming one of his I forget what series fly rod it was. He broke it in half. I mean, you know, it wasn't, you know, any kind of manufacturer defect. He broke it, and we sent the rod off $25, and he got a new rod back. So that's the kind of stuff that's going to get people, you know, the warranties and the prices and everything else. So, you know, the companies that are, I think, realizing that are the ones that are going to be taken off. So,
yeah, man.
Cool.
Well, cool. We've reached the 9 o'clock hour. We can probably keep talking about quality equipment all night long, but let's talk a little bit about fishing, man. We got this tournament coming up. You know, I know where I'm going just because of what I did the other day. It's interesting. It was interesting to see, and here's my fishing report from the other day. So I go to Lagoon. I launch. I paddle. Well, sorry. I pedal. I don't paddle anymore. I pedaled, I don't know, maybe about 100 yards from the launch, got up, stood up, started push pulling, and immediately started seeing tails. And as Justin, Richie, and Austin, and Vicky, and everybody have been telling me, they were in the thick grass, and it was a little tough to try and get them to eat, or at least that's what I would figure. But as soon as I saw them in the thick grass, I just switched to a heavier jig head, rather than throwing the typical, you know, 1/8 ounce or 1/16 ounce that I normally would throw. I switched over to a quarter, and just dropped the bait, dropped the SST in buttery nipple on their face, and they ate it. First cast of the morning, caught a 24-inch redfish. And then, I called Steve Chapman's show, Fishing Florida Radio, and was on hold and saw a tail pop up between, you know, pretty close to me. And I was hoping that I was going to have him on the line as I set the hook so he could hear the drag screen. But, the caller before me was a little long winded, but it was awesome. It was one of the best callers I ever heard. And, I was going to say, so I landed that fish, and that was the smallest one of the day. that's why I took the picture of that fish, is because I had my phone in my hand while, you know, I was landing the fish anyways. I was on the phone waiting to talk to Steve and them. So then once I land that fish, I toss them back, and then I get back after it again. And I ended up with three more redfish, all of them but one. So two of them out of the three were tailing when they ate. The last one literally was 5 feet from the kayak. I was standing up and drifting along, drifting into some of the floating grass, and I looked down, and there's a redfish just laying there. So I reached my foot out, and I stopped myself with the fins, because I was shallow enough. I just pushed the fins down, and they stopped me in the sand, which didn't spook him, which was strange, and dropped the bait right on his nose, and he ate it. So it was like when me and you were fishing, and I caught that fish that you lost, and it was right between us, and we were – it was, yeah, of course you did. It was right between us, and there was like no way that we either one of us thought that fish would ever eat when it was like right in between us. It was the same kind of thing, and it was so funny, man. And then I caught a nice trout. I caught a trout that was about probably 21, 22 inches. So five reds, one trout, all on buttery nipple, all on quarter ounce jig heads, fished right in the grass. And, you know, if I had a quarter ounce Tommy head jig, I probably would have used that. And I'll be honest, I had a Tommy head. Tommy sent me a bunch of jigs. I had one of his red, I think it was an eighth ounce that was tied on, and I knew it just wouldn't get through that grass, man, because that grass is thick. And so anyhow, make a long story short, so that was my morning, and that was all done by 9:30. I was done fishing at 9:30. Yeah, done. Yeah. I was like, all right,
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was, I'm hearing mixed reports. I haven't, you know, of course I didn't get in the water this weekend, but how bad is the water, or is it, or, you know, I'm hearing
dirty,
kind of mixed reports. Yeah.
The water's really dirty. It's not coffee with creamer in it yet, which is coming, I'm sure, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's definitely darker than tea color. I would call it, I would almost say it's more of like a chocolate milk ish.
like a
mocha latte with an extra shot of creamer.
Yeah. Nice.
And
okay.
And whip.
gotta have whip.
Oh, Tommy head. The 3-0 and the 4-0, my man. Those are sick. But yeah, I'll tell you what, it was nasty, but man, there was a lot of fish out there. Holy crap. And you know, I haven't seen that many fish tailing in a short section of shoreline in a long time. I mean, a while. Last time I saw fish tailing like that was in the wintertime. And like not even this past winter, the previous winter. And red bug, chartreuse, and pink, and pepper pink. Sure. I like all those colors, my man. I'll give that pepper pink a shot. I don't know if anyone's caught anything on the pepper pink yet. I haven't seen very many pictures of that yet. But anyhow, so I digress. Tommy's in there trying to hook me up with jigs, man. Like you got to stop progress when Tommy wants to send you stuff. So have you fished with Tommy's jigs, Alan?
I have. You just mentioned the, you know, I've fished with them, and unfortunately, no fault of the Tommy head jigs. I guess you could say my game has been off for a little bit, but you know, the way the water's been and everything. But the he mentioned the pepper pink. That was one of the colors that I, you know, was able to get and try. And that color is, it looks awesome. I mean, I just. My day's coming. You know, I've got them. I've always got one tied on, but no fault of the jigs. It's just, I guess, operator error. But I have tried them. They are very, very nice.
Yeah, he said there in the chat room that Holly has. Yeah, of course Holly has. Holly catches fish on anything.
And I know Mike Kineen too. I mean, he's, you know, always. I saw a picture of a, I think it was a little snook that he put up probably, you know, maybe a few days ago, and he does really, really well on them. So I know he's a firm believer in Tommy head jigs. So,
hey, I've caught quite a few redfish and trout on Tommy head jigs. I've got some pictures to prove it. and they're great jigs. I love the style that the angle that the eye sits. To me, that's awesome when you tie a loop knot and you get a lot of action out of it. But anyhow, the water's dirty. The grass is really thick. It's interesting because it's long, like thin green grass, not that brown clumpy crap that you find in the no motor zone.
Right.
So it wasn't bad, and most of the fish that I found were working around the floating grass. So they were actually tailing and kind of working in a circle around that floating grass. So that was interesting.
Well, hopefully we make it through the summer, because I know it started earlier than last year, so I just hope what grass we've got makes it through it.
But what's your plan? What's your plan for the tournament this weekend, dude? What are you gonna?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I mean, we're talking about a couple different. I've got no set game plan. I think I'm gonna get on the water Saturday. I know they're doing the skiff tournament Saturday for the IFA. It's probably gonna be a few more boats than normal, but that's okay. I'm not sure yet. I know, with the water the way it is up north, I mean, Banana River's still pretty clear, but I don't know. I think may get out for a little bit on Saturday and poke around a little bit and, just kind of wing it. So no set plan.
Yeah,
but,
I think if you...
If you're on fish, we can talk.
I think if you, if you catch during that day with the water conditions being the way they are, if you can catch a solid upper slot redfish and a trout over 20, you've got a pretty good shot at least being in the money.
Yeah,
being in the
I
money.
Agree.
I don't think that will win. I don't think that would win.
Right.
I think that you would literally have to have a fish, probably a redfish, well over 30 inches, and a trout probably in the mid 20s to win the tournament. But I haven't found any of those big fish. All the fish I found the other day, they were all, mid-slot fish. The biggest one I got for the day was 26 inches. Which wasn't a bad fish, but, I mean, I was really hoping to come upon a couple studs that were just kind of cruising around, because in that dirty water, man, honestly, your best bet is to take any kind of plastic, whether it's a Slayer or whatever, and goop it up with as much Pro-Cure or Bio-Edge and soak it.
Yep, it's gonna take something scented, because like you said, that IFA, it's artificial only, so it's gonna take precision casting and stink.
Or we do a float plan to jacks and just drift jacks all day and hope to pull a stud and then move on and get in and search the flats for a big trout with a topwater plug or something like that. I mean,
true.
I don't know, soak
some gulp crabs or something, but I don't know. It's going to, I mean, somebody's going to catch, there's going to be some good fish caught. I guarantee it. Somebody's going to, there's going to be some decent fish that win the thing, but it's going to be tough. You know, guys coming from out of town, because I know there's a lot of guys that travel the IFA circuit and everything. So, some really good fishermen, but, water conditions aren't going to help, but I bet we see some good fish weighed in.
Why is Justin only willing to give you the scoop, dude? What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. He's there in the chat room saying, get a hold of me. I'll give you the scoop.
I see it.
That's cool. Don't forget, man, we're all going to the boondoggle together, and I'll buy Peppy a bottle of Jameson.
I'll share. Share spot, my man.
Yeah, of course. You'll share the location so that people don't whatever. Anyway,
don't
gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, anyway, move on.
No, Jameson, move on. Next subject. So, boondoggle. For those of you that have not signed up for the boondoggle yet, as of this afternoon, there was only 7 spots left.
Wow.
At the park. 7 spots. There are already over almost 400 people signed up.
That's crazy.
Almost 400 kayakers registered for this boondoggle. And that doesn't even come close to counting any of the people that live nearby. So there's a very good possibility that we could see 500, maybe even 600 kayakers at this boondoggle. Yeah. So section C, C-section, is where most of us are, C-section, is where most of us are going to be camping. Super excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's coming up in October. I don't have the dates in front of me. Sorry for that. I think it's
14th, 15th. Middle, 14th, 15th, something like that.
Yeah. 14th, 15th, 16th, or 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th.
In there. It's got somewhere in there.
Yeah, there's definitely a teen in there somewhere. But it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's 11th through the 14th. Thanks, Wade. Wade's all over it, man. He's probably got it
there
in his pocket.
He's an engineer.
Yeah, he's got it written down on a piece of paper in his pocket protector. But I love that guy.
Poor Wade.
But but let's see.
Wade, I think he scored some fish at Thousand Islands. I think he's back in his element. Had to throw that in there.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, look at that. Josh Slager says, a hotel away from the peasants. That's nice. big congratulations is in order. Our good friend who's in the chat room there, Mr. Randy English, has joined the ranks of Pepe and others, including Wade, with the brand new Native Pro staff.
Very nice.
Awesome. Very well deserved. Randy English is one hell of a man. He's done incredible things over the last couple of years as far as catching some giant redfish. And I think his profile picture, or one of the picture that he has in the on the Native page, is like the best ever. It's that one giant redfish that he's got like half pulled up on the kayak in his head. Looks like it's the size of Randy's chest.
Yeah, I've seen it. So, yeah, he catches monsters for sure. So very well deserved. Congratulations, Randy.
He says that was a baby. Yeah, all right, buddy. But so that's cool. The new Slayer has some new features. I saw that they changed out some things on the new Slayer. There's some really cool things coming down the road from a lot of the manufacturers. There's some changes coming from Hobie. There's some changes coming from Native. There's some changes coming from Old Town. Dude, we didn't even talk about this at all on the show last week, I don't think. The new Old Town Predator. Listen,
I saw that boat.
Let me tell you something.
Very, very cool looking.
Let me tell you something. If I ever needed a boat to paddle, there's a very good possibility that would be one of the ones that would be on my top two, maybe top three list. They did an incredible job. I saw that boat firsthand. I got to see an actual production model. The rep came by our shop and showed it to us, and man, they did a bang up job on that thing. The guy who designed that boat, if I'm not mistaken, came over from Wilderness Systems. So it's got some ride type tendencies to it, which I think is going to be great for the stability of the boat. And, but man, talk about rigging for all you crazy riggers out there that like to mount rod holders, camera mounts, fish finders, whatever. You have 6 rigging plates on the boat that are removable, that you can buy new ones of. And man, it is a great looking boat, man. It looks like a beast. Like it looks mean, you know what I'm saying? Like the lines on the boat
look military.
It does. It looks very military. And when you and I got to see the urban camo, that's the color scheme that the rep had, and it looks like a little battleship. It is awesome.
You guys gonna carry?
Are we gonna get them? Of course.
Okay. All right.
I think I asked Tom when the rep was standing there. I'm like, Tom, how many of these are you getting? Like 10? And he goes, 26.
Yeah.
I go, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, cool.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty good pricing on them, or?
Yeah. There's two different sizes. There's a 12 foot and a 13 foot. The 12 footer doesn't have a center hatch, which basically the center hatch of the boat in the 13 footer is the same hatch that's used in like the Ocean Trident. That's got the Mod Pod.
Okay.
Follow me. So you can use a bunch of different Scotty type mounts to go along with that center hatch. The floor on the 12 footer is just, it's not flat because it's got ridges to it. It's kind of interesting, but it, for all intents and purposes, it's flat. There's nothing there to get any line caught on or anything like that. So it should be really good. It's got, what's really cool about it is it's got high-low seating with a frame chair, and the locking mechanism that's used to put your seat in high and low is really cool, because unlike some of the other high-low seats that are out there, this one, when you go to slide out of the seat to get in the water or get in the seat, the seat's not going to rock. It's not going to pivot in place. And I don't know about some of you guys that are out there that have those types of boats that have frame chairs, but to me, that was always one of the things that was a little shaky about it, was even if you've got it cinched down with the little strap, if you put your weight on like front corner of the seat, it would tend to want to rock out of its little grooves that it would sit in. Okay. I don't know if you ever have you ever had that problem?
No, with mine, not really. I mean, I keep it, I keep it strapped down with the front strap and stuff like that. I mean, I've had some balance problems, but not, it'll move around a little bit, but not too bad.
You said balance problems.
I'll leave it.
Yeah, the seat doesn't rock because the seat actually locks in place with clips. So it's pretty cool. The seat looks really comfortable. It's almost like a take on the Native seat and the Jackson seat. There's some Native-ish looking things on the boat. There's some Jackson looking things on the boat, and there's some Wilderness looking things on the boat. So it's definitely, as Tom from Kayak Sobo said, it definitely took a pretty good kind of kick off of three boats. So it's interesting, man. Wow. It'll be good to see.
Yeah, cool. Check it out. I've looked at it.
There you go.
Yeah, they definitely look nice.
Yeah, man. And so that's that. And then what else is going down? If I were fishing this weekend and I was not in a tournament, well, if I was fishing this weekend, first of all, I would stay away from the Mosquito Lagoon area and the north end of the Indian River because Saturday, or not even Saturday, starting today, the place has been run over a million times by the guys in the IFA. And what's funny, and it was brought to my attention by a good friend of mine who's a local guide, the fish are not schooling right now. So it doesn't make any sense for these idiots to run up and down the flats and bump fish, because what are you, you're bumping a single fish? Like, how productive is that? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so, but when you get a lot of guys that come into town from out of town and stuff, and they just don't know, the seasons here or how things work, they tend to just run around blind because they don't know how to find fish otherwise, I guess. I don't know. But it doesn't make any sense, man. I don't know, man. It's stupid. But so the fish will basically be freaked out for the next couple of weeks after being run over every day for the next couple of days up until the tournament. And then after the tournament's over with, they should be okay, the weekend after or whatever. That's the only hang up to me wanting to fish a certain location where I've had some success. Is because the area that I was at was run over. I mean, I had two flats boats come right past me, and they were both wrapped, and I didn't recognize either boat, so they had to have been in town.
No, they're out of town. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of
tournament, I didn't mean to cut you off. The shootout this past weekend, which I did not fish, of course, but I have to give my brother props for the 43.8 pound
he caught aboard his boat, which first placed in Big Dolphin, and I believe got him in the Calcutta money also. So he definitely got his money back on that tournament. He had three anglers on his boat and very, very nice fish. So I didn't get a whole lot of info as to where he caught it, anything like that. But he's in the Bahamas right now, so I can't get a hold of him. So living the rough life, but definitely did good. That was a beast of a dolphin. So it did well.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Congratulations to him. He's awesome, man. Your brother's a cool dude. So that's cool. Whenever you know somebody that wins good money at a tournament and comes in with a stud fish, that's awesome. But so like I say, if I were going to go fishing, I would probably run down south. I'd go down and take a look at something. I don't know, down around Sebastian, maybe a little bit further down, and see what you can find. Maybe some snook, maybe some reds, some trout, or go north. I know there's been some flounder still being caught up in north up towards Oak Hill and Daytona area. But listen, speaking of fishing reports, one thing I want to ask you guys to do, spread the word. What we're going to start doing here on the Monday Night Kickoff Show is we want you guys to call in with fishing reports. It's really important to us that we can get as many people dialed into their local area as possible. So with that being said, if you call us and you have a fishing report and you want to divulge a little bit of information, we will be selecting random fishing report givers, if you want to call it that. And we will be awarding prize packs. So I think the best way to do it is just do, like I said, just random. So just remember, the better the report you give us, the more information you're willing to divulge, the better chance you probably have of being picked for a prize pack, wouldn't you say, Alan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, give a good report. You know, you don't have to give away any secret spots, nothing like that. Just a general report, and, you know, that'd be cool. Just find out what's going on around the county and stuff, around the state.
Well, not even – Yeah, we're really looking to try and reach outside of Brevard County. I'd like to get some fishing reports from up in the Panhandle over in Tampa Way where Rob's at and a couple of you other guys are at, and then down south somewhere, that would be cool. And then also too up in Daytona, Jacksonville, down along the beaches down south. So just trying to build a bigger.
Going to say with a boondoggle come and get some Pensacola stuff going, or north, you know, northwest Panhandle, get some Panhandle area reports and find out what's going on, get the scoop.
Yeah, but you know, and the prize packs, you know, are given away generously through Orca Coolers and also Slayer Inc. Chris Sensi, of course, is the man, and he comes through for us for sure. And then of course Bill Terry from Orca Coolers is doing some other cool things too. Rob is in Tampa. Yeah, I didn't realize I didn't even see you in there, Mr. Becker. Mr. Becker has been giving us a few fishing reports every now and again, and is the man with the golden voice that normally calls into Mr. Chip Gibson's show, which is on Thursday nights. But yes, also, don't forget that Greg Becker also fishes that same area. So my bad, brother. that's funny. Oops, hiding under a rock near Tampa. Yeah, I gotcha. Like a bridge troll. But, it's going to be fun. We're going to try and do some different things here in the coming weeks. We're going to try and reach out to some other sponsors and see if we can get some other prize packs and whatnot to give away, make things interesting. So, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. So please do myself and Alan a favor and reach out to your friends on Facebook and share our show with them. And let's try and get us to as many listeners as possible, because the more listener base, the bigger listener base we have, the better chance we have of getting even better, bigger and better sponsors to join in as well. So, we do this for you guys. We don't get anything really out of it. It's just, it's fun for us to do, and it will be a lot of fun to keep promoting. What do you say? I would trade my Yeti for an Orca. Well, I don't. Who, who's Never mind. I'll leave it alone. I don't know who ORKA is, but that's cool. Like okra. But cool. So no, I'm just kidding, man. If you guys are looking for any kind of vinyl decals or things like that for your boats, as far as doing lettering and boat design and, you know, graphic design or whatever, our good friend Mr. Steve McInerney and his wife Brenda went over to CSI Signs, I believe it was, and had some really cool artwork done for their boats. Check them out; they're pretty reasonable. And see what else you can do as far as that's concerned. And then what else, man? That's it. Oh, hopefully next week we're going to have Richard from Harry Good Outdoor Shop will be calling us.
Yep.
And giving us a fishing report for down south, Alan.
Yep, definitely. Yep, work on that. Get some, find out what's going on. He just, you know, finished up with his chase for the Challis Tarpon Tournament, I know. So I think he wants to talk about that and some other stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I know my buddy Mike Batarak is involved in that some kind of way too. That was a cool tournament. And
yep.
Let's see what else. There's a few other things going down. Tommy Head Jigs, man, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much. I will share the wealth with Alan as well. Thank you for that. And then let's see. That's pretty much it. You got anything?
Yeah. No, that's it. Nothing else.
Plug your sponsors, brother, and let's get out of Dodge.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah. Kayaks by Bow, Harry Goods Outdoors, Red Zone Apparel, TFO Rods, Bending Branches, and Jackson Kayaks.
Sweet. And I would, of course, I'd like to thank everybody who has sponsored me over the last couple of years and my new sponsors as well, Hobie Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Bending Branches Paddles, Kayaks by Bow, KBB Outfitters, Slayer Inc. Lures, Ego Nets, Eagle Nest Outfitters, and Tackle Webs. Don't forget about Tackle Webs, folks. Mike Ortego is a man on a mission to try and revolutionize the way you think about trying to store your gear. Get a Tackle Webs tackle bag for any of your kayaks. It will fit just about every kayak out there on the market, including the Hobies, the Jackson Kayaks, any of your frame chairs. They fit perfect on the back of the frame chair. They'll fit underneath the frame chair. I have 4 Tackle Web bags on my Pro Angler 14, soon to be a fifth one that will be mounted inside my front hatch. And, man, I tell you what, it makes stowing your gear in an easy location to reach awesome, man. It's just a great product. Mike Ortego is a great guy and, you know, just looking forward to what he's got coming out with. I'll be seeing Mike over in ICAST as well. I know he's got a booth that'll be right next to Orca Coolers, so that's convenient for me to be able to stop by and say hello to two of my favorite sponsors. I want to thank the guys who make the T-Bone bed extender. Man, I'll tell you what, that thing is awesome. I just got my T-Bone bed extender from my good friend Frank of Hobie, and man, I love that thing. It's awesome. I was tired of dragging the back end of my bed extender across the concrete anytime I went up and down a hill or into a parking lot. No issues now with the T-Bone. That thing is sweet. And with that, my man, I am. We're just about done, brother. I appreciate you being here, Alan. Again, you know what, man? You've helped me take my show, I feel, to the next level. So I definitely appreciate it.
Very cool. Not a problem. Enjoy it.
Cool. And then with that, man, I'm going to leave you guys with the Orca spot, then our outgoing music, and take care. Don't forget to take a kid fishing, tight lines. Don't forget about our shows this week. Tomorrow's the Double L show, and then we have the Low Sodium show on Wednesday, and Godfather himself, Chip Gibson, on Thursday night. So take care. God bless. Give your kids a kiss, and take it easy. See ya.
Night.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers. made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Give me the Flats of Dawn, with plenty of tailing fish,
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.